please. Book of Haggai, the first chapter. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Hosedech the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. The Lord asked him a question. Is it time? Is it time for you to come that my house should be built? And the people's answer was, It's not time yet, Lord. If the Lord help me just for a few moments, I'd like to preach on, It's all about me. It's all about me. If you'll study the history here, this first chapter of Haggai, you'll see that the Jews have just returned from being in captivity in Babylon. And Haggai the prophet was sent to reprove them for their neglect, but he was also sent to encourage them for their undertaking of the work that was before them. If you study the history, you will find that sometime after their captivity, they started to work on the temple. A lot of the scholars and commentators, as I begin to study this out, said that they went so far as to lay the foundations. But then there came a prohibition from the Persian court that charged them that they could not continue with their task. So they stopped working. You know, as I begin to look at this, we can somewhat see an excuse for their abatement of their labor. You know, they had a law put against them. Amen. There was a hindrance. I mean, we can excuse that. We can see to where man had intervened and made it to where they no longer could work. But when the Lord began to talk to them here in this first chapter of Haggai, the prohibition had been lifted. The opposition had now ceased. But now also had their spirit for work disappeared. They neglected the building of God's house that they might have more time for their own affairs. We're just going to take our time. And here, let you know, sometimes as preachers, we're not careful. We'll get so, you know, and we lose our message. Just be patient with me a moment. Let me talk to us. Amen. The Lord will come by here if we'll just be patient. They neglected the building of God's house that they might attend to their own affairs. You know, those employed by the Lord may be driven from their work by a storm. There's times in every one of our lives when our work ceases for a moment because of trials, because of afflictions, because of hardships. But there comes a time when the storm ceases. The winds quit blowing and the waves go back to their peaceful rolling. And when that happens, we must go back to work. Oh, Lord. You know, sometimes as Christians, we misinterpret providential disturbance in our work. We think sometimes because trouble comes our way that it amounts to the fact that we no longer need to work, but in essence, it's really the Lord trying to exercise and try our faith and find out really where we're at. Come on here now. You know, I'm a firm believer that every time you get a flat tire, it wasn't the devil. Every time the gas bill comes and you get it shut off, it wasn't the devil. Every time that you find yourself in a valley and you can't hear God, it's not always the devil. But there is times that the Lord is sitting in His throne room and the devil comes by and says, and God already knows what's on your mind, devil. Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is times when God pulls back the hand of protection and allows trouble to come our way because God wants to see where we're really at. I mean, this group of people, they already started the work. They already had the foundation laid. They was already in their labor. But in the midst of all that, God allowed a prohibition to come to stop them and try them because He wanted to see what kind of children He really had. The storm's gone. The trial's lifted. The gate's been opened. Why is not my people building my house? Their houses are being built. But my house lieth waste. Amen. So many times during our trials and our valleys, we lay down our weapons and tools of labor. We hang our harps on willows, when in reality we should beat our sickles into swords and our plowshares into spears, and we need to begin to fight. We should arise like those men with Nehemiah and strengthen our hands for the work that is before us. Hey, those boys seen nothing but rubble. The walls of Jerusalem lay rubble and rubbish. But the Bible says that they begin to move the heaps of the rubbish. And they all joined together and strengthened their hands for the task that was before them. If there's ever a day we're living in right now, and I want you to listen here, the church world's in more turmoil. Amen. Holiness is in more trouble. You can agree or not, but it's an evidence fact. Our movement's in trouble. We're becoming lackadaisical. We're becoming lazy. We've been pampered so long by the presence of God. We've been sheltered so long by our forefathers that when the task is at hand, I'm afraid it's all about us. It's what I want. It's what I gotta do. It's what I've gotta build. It's what I've gotta take hold of. And all along, God's house is lying waste. God's people are in trouble. Our children are in trouble. Our movement is in trouble. The house of God is lying waste. It's all about me, God. I ain't got time. I got my own life to worry about. I worked for you. Trouble came my way. I'm not going back to work. You know what really struck me strange and odd about all this was the fact these children, it wasn't so much that they wasn't willing to work, just not yet. The Lord asked him, is it time?
Not yet, God. As I look at this congregation this morning, I'm looking at people that the problem is that you don't know what the Lord wants. Your problem is you don't not know what the Lord expects from your life. But what I see is people that when the Lord challenges you, your answer is, not yet. God, I'm not to the place in my life where I can fit Your will into my plans. Men never say, I refuse. They just say, not yet. The majority of sinners, when asked the question, will you come? The majority of sinners don't flatly refuse the preacher. The majority of the time their answer is, not yet. Not yet. Oh God. I would be reformed. I would be converted. There's some of you even last night while the preacher was preaching and the altar service was taking place, in the back of your mind you were saying, I will listen. But not now. I will grab hold of the plow, but not tonight. I am going to do something for God, but not this week. Come on here now. I do see the need is great, but I'm not ready yet, God. I still got things I've got to do. Oh, come on here now. I know it's a little... I understand that. But I know I'm right where God wants me to be this morning. Amen. We are living in a church world that's so self-centered. Amen. So self-destructive. It's all about what you want. Hey, I'll read my Bible when I got time. I'll seek God's face when I can find time. I'll go to the house of God when I ain't got something else going on. Isn't it funny that the very thing that's our life's blood, the Word of God, the house of God, our communication with God, it's always the last thing that gets put on our to-do list. We'll go to church if there's nothing else to do. I'll read the Word if there's nowhere else to go. I'll seek God's face if there's nobody else to talk to. But as long as I've got something to do, somewhere to go, and something to take hold of, I'll not do God's will.
God was telling His children, I've delivered you out of bondage. I have blessed you. Isn't it time for you to start working for Me? Some of you boys need to get that basketball out of your eyes and look up here. We've got some young men in this building. God would use you, but you ain't got time for His calling. Come on here now. You can sit, pout, shout, I don't care. I've determined in my heart this year, I don't know this, I feel like Brother Noah, you know, me and Brother Mike different, we all talk about it. It seems like this year's been just indescribable. I have seen the clutches of hell and the forces of the enemy come against God's people more than I've seen Him try to tear families apart more. I've seen Him try to split churches more. I've seen Him try to afflict the men of God more. Just like the brother said, He tries to shut down. He's got the audacity to come in the middle of the anointed preaching and squelch the altar services. I said, we're fighting against an enemy that got to kill, steal, and destroy. You better get you off your mind. You better forget about what you want to do. You better start seeking God's will for your life. Or the undertow of this world is going to suck us under.
He ain't liking it. I determined I'm going to skin him this week. Are you hearing me? I don't care if I don't get a pat. I don't care if I'm going to get an amen. I'm determined to find God's mind, and I want to get in that mindset, and I want to preach His Word, and I want to tell some of you, the reason you're dried up like last year's bird nest is because it's all about you. It's all about you. What you think, what you feel, how you look at it, what's your opinion. God don't care about your opinion. He's got His own opinion. His opinion is, I've delivered you, I've healed you, I've helped you, I've pulled you out time and time again. I send conviction when I should have sent judgment. I send mercy when I should have sent wrath. But yet, you refuse to work. Some of you, I believe it with all of my heart. You should be backslid tonight. You should be doing something else today. But God has mercy. And you want to know what's the sad thing about it all? You think you're here because of you. You think you're blessed because of who you are. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody walks between the raindrops with God. When it showers on all. God's no respecter person. His Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. It's called life. We don't escape it. Come on here now. You dwell out in this world, ain't it all? You're going to get some grime on you. Come on here now. I'm going to tell you something. I don't mean to rain on your parade and bust your party balloon. I don't mean to crumple up your party hat, but it's not you that got you to this pew this morning. Are you hearing me? It's not been your ability. You listen here. There's some of you musicians, you ain't felt the anointing of God in your fingers for years because you think it's you. It's your ability. It's nothing. It's a seedling brass and a tinkling cymbal. If the anointing ain't in it, it's nothing but a noise. Unless the anointing's in it, it's not our abilities. It's not our talents. It's not our natures. It's not our names. But it's what is inside. Oh God. God has blessed a lot of us to the place that it amazes me. And yet when it comes to His work, we are satisfied with sitting in our seat and doing nothing but just floating. Some of you is doing it to me this morning. You're standing up on your break. I can smell the Bendix of burning. But it's all right. God's going to break your legs in a bit. You hearing me? I really believe we're in the last few moments of time. And I really believe that God is trying to gather His church up. The Bible says there will come a time when those things that can be shaken shall be shaken. Ain't that the hour we're living in right now? People fall by the wayside. I look at them, I can't believe they fell. I mean, I just can't believe they... I'm looking across the crowd and there's some that's not with us this week right here. And I'm thinking, I would have never have thought. Why? Because we've learned how to have church. You know, when Brother Jeff says attitude check, you have to get up and say, praise the Lord. But I'm really wondering, how many felt it right here? Some of you boys, it's a miracle that you're even back with us this year. The year you've been through. I want to tell you what. 99% of our problems is self-afflicted wounds. We do it to ourselves. Come on here now. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burnt? Will there not be some remnant
of evidence showing the fact that he'd been around fire. Come on here now. But yet there are some of us, we are bound and determined to get just as close to that line as we can get. Come on here now. Not thinking that at any time all God's got to do is take a breath and blow us on out into eternity. But we're so self-consumed with ourselves that we can't even see grace of mercy of God upon our lives. We are so past that now. We have so outgrown that now. But let me tell you something. A lot of you are here today because God has kept you. I said, God has kept you. You should have been gone. You should have been dead. You should have been out of phone. But God seemed fit to pull you out again. And He's asking you today, will you work? Will you work? Will you work? I don't have time. How can you not have time when it's been God that's been helping you? How many times has God pulled some of us out? If I could go through this crowd, point to individuals, what kind of testimonies? When we could say like David of old, my feet didn't I slip. There was just but a step between me and death. But God come by, swooped me up, took me back to the heights, and held on to me so I could get some strength to wobble on my own. And yet we'll run from the sheltered wings of God right back to our house. Come on here now. God can heal us on Wednesday. We don't come back for 2 weeks. Come on here now. That's the world we're living in. We can speak in tongues on Sunday. We don't pray again for the next youth camp. Come on here now. That's the type of world we're living in. We are cheapening the blessings of God. We are cheapening the Spirit of God. We don't realize what we're messing with. We're messing with something that can make us or break us. Woe unto the man that the rock of offense falls on, for it's going to crush him into powder. But if you'll be willing to fall upon the rock, but if you'll be willing to fall on the rock, it'll help you. Oh God, some of you need to run back to Calvary and let God help you. It's all about me, God. It's all about me. There's nothing wrong with having goals. There's nothing wrong with having goals. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a good life here on this earth. There's nothing wrong, if you do it in the right way, to further your education and make a vocation for yourself in this world. God expects us to make a living. If you ain't a full-time pastor or preacher, you need to be a full-time job holder. That's for the boys. Amen. There's nothing wrong with having goals. There's nothing wrong with setting goals. But it's when our houses and our plans and our dreams and our existence overshadows God's house and His dreams. You know God has dreams for us as His children. God don't see us as infants in the cradle sucking on the bottle of our life. He sees us eating meat. He sees us learning to crawl. He sees us learning to walk. He sees us learning to run. He sees us growing and growing and growing. Are you? God has plans for us too. Let me tell you something. It's not all about you. It's not all about your life. It's not all about your desire. We are not our own, the Bible says. But we have been bought with a price.
Come on here now. It's no longer what I want, but the prayer ought to be, Lord, what do you want? There's been a lot of times I've had to do stuff in this life that Jerry didn't want to do, but I felt the bearing hand of God upon my soul, and I could not escape His will, though I would try. I had to do what God wanted me to do if I wanted to be right. Why ain't I shouting? You're not right. Why ain't I getting anointed? You're not right. Come on here now. Because it's what you want. You need to let go and do what God wants.
I'm going to tell on myself. Help me, God. If I could do what I wanted to do, Brother Mike, I'd go preaching revivals. There would be people, Brother Marshall, that would pat me on the back and say, Brother Jerry, you're doing a good work. But if God is not my motivator, if God is not the wind that's driving my vessel, all it is what I want to do. Oh God. I prayed. I sought God. I wrestled with God. I told God what I was going to do. I told God how it needed to be and how it needed to take place. And He's just God. He's going to have to get behind me because I'm His servant, and He's going to have to back me up. Aren't we so brash? But you know what God said? No, you're going to sit right here next to this pastor. And you're going to keep your seat. I found a quote from Abraham Lincoln. He said, I will study and I will get ready. And when my time comes, I will be prepared. He wrote that way before he was ever president. Come on here now. That's what I want, God. That's what I want, God. Some of us are so sure of ourselves and what God wants us to be doing. We don't see how sporadic we are spiritually. You watch somebody that can't decide where they need to be. I said you watch somebody who can't decide where they need to be. You watch somebody that can't decide what God wants them to be doing. They always told me a rolling stone gathers no moss. Come on here now. There's going to come a time in your life when God's going to put the brakes on you. And you're going to have to realize it's not all about me. It's about Him. They wasn't pleased enough with the fact that God delivered them out of bondage. They wasn't pleased enough with the fact that God had blessed them. There's some of you, you've been tried to pray and fast and pray and fast, and you cry out, I can't feel God. I can't get past this wall. I just seem to can't go any further. I just can't seem to feel. Friend, the wall is you. The dam that holds back the Spirit of God is you. The roadblock that's stopping you is you. Woe is the man that trusteth in the arm flesh. What about it, Festus? Not right now, Paul. But at a more convenient time, I'll serve God. There's still some things I want to do in this life, Paul. There's still some places I want to go. There's some of you tonight. You got that spirit of curiosity. I want to tell you what's going to kill some of our young people quicker than anything. That's curiosity. They felt like they've had to abstain for so long that the devil starts speaking to them. And instead of rebuking him and casting him aside, they start lending themselves to his words. And before long, you find yourself in places that you can't get out of. And if you do make it back to God, your life is so scarred, mangled, and broken that you don't give Him much to work with. Some of you future preachers out there need to hear me. Your silly, boyish decisions that you're making right now is going to affect the man and the minister later. Some of your loose ways and actions that some of you girls got right now, some of your dress codes and your ethnics about you, it's going to ruin the woman of God and preacher's wife later. But it's all right. You do it your way. It's all right. Just worry about you and what it's got to be. But there will come a time, Brother Mike Nichols, when you'll be flat on your face and you're going to come back to your senses. And you're going to say, I would to God, I would have listened to you instead of what I wanted to do. I wish I'd have never went this road. I wish I'd have never walked through that door. I wish I'd have never ran with that crowd. I wish I'd have never acted that way. I wish I would have never judged that way. I wish I would have never treated God's people that way. But now, I've had my way. I've had my will. And all that's left is rubbish and destruction and a shadow of a life that could have been. Oh, the saddest cry in hell is I shouldn't have been here. I could have been something. I should be in glory. It shouldn't have turned out this way. It shouldn't have went this way. But friend, it's all about you. God told them, you go up to your sealed houses. Hold on with me just a few more moments, please. And my house is lying waste. I can hear him, Brother Lloyd. I'm not satisfied with my walls. I'm not satisfied with my roofs. They must be full of gaiety and they must be fancy. Sealed houses means they was paneled and decorated. The ceilings were finished. There was a time when we was just satisfied to come to the cracker box house of God. But now the God's house no longer allures us. Now God's house no longer captures our attention. But we've got to have painted walls and vaulted ceilings and crystal chandeliers and dimming systems. Come on here now. We've got to have the niceties and the fineries of this world when we're failing to see, amen, that we're losing the very presence of God. Are you hearing me? I've never seen a time like today when everything else matters but God's work, but God's house, but God's people, but God's burden, but God's plan. Hey, the people of God is failing for a lack and a love for Father's house and for Father. What drove the prodigal son? He was no longer satisfied
with Father's house. But he wanted the nightlife of the far country. But little did he know, he was getting all dressed up for the hog pen. Are you hearing me? The wages of sin is still death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
King David, in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, after God had given him rest from all of his enemies. Read it. After God had given him rest from all his enemies, he looked at Nathan the prophet and said, "It's not right that I dwell in my palace of finery, and the ark of God dwells among curtains." I don't feel right, Nathan, laying upon my bed of tapestry and silk, and the presence of God dwelling on a dirt floor. I don't feel right, Nathan, adorning my robes of purple and scarlet and my jeweled crowns by costly apparel. I don't feel right sitting on my golden throne. I don't feel right with all my food and finery and my presence. That's what the ark of God represented, the presence of God. The presence of God's out there in the desert, holed up outside underneath curtains and tents. God's house deserves better than that, Nathan. God's presence deserves more than that, Nathan. We've got to take care of God's house. Are you hearing me? Even King Solomon, even though I know his end was not the best, but he wouldn't even begin to build his own palace until he built the house and tabernacle of God. Are you hearing me? We need to get back to where God's will is number one. Where God's house takes precedent over everything else in our life. We better take care of God.
I believe it was Sister Mary Hampton testified one time that God told her, "If you'll take care of mine, I'll take care of yours." Well, that sounds honorable. But at the time, she had a son that was hooked on dope and drugs. Running in with the law, being gone for days and nights and weeks. Come on here now. God said, "If you forget about yours, you take care of mine and my house, I'll take care of yours." Oh God. Some of us, sadly, prefer the ornaments and convenience of this temporal life before the absolute necessities of the eternal life. Listen to me, church. If we continue to labor only for the meat that perishes, we're going to be in danger of losing our labor. Understand something right here. For their neglect, God did not send them back to captivity. I'm just about done. I hope I'm not weary. But I feel the burden to go on just a few more moments. For their lack of neglect, God did not send them back to captivity. Nor did He bring a foreign enemy upon them, even though they deserved it. But he that gives seed to the sower denied his blessing upon the seed that was sown. Did you read their judgment? The Amalekites didn't come down and take them to bondage. Goliath and the Philistines didn't come by and take them to bondage. Persia, the Babylonians didn't come back by and take them to bondage. But every time they sowed seed, much, they gathered in little. Feel the Holy Ghost getting just a little bit closer up here. Read God's judgment upon them for their lack of concern. You have sown much, you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. You brought it home, and I did blow upon it. Why? Why has there been a lack in my house? Why are you not blessed? Why is your altars not filled? Why is not your children speaking in tongues? Why is not the church growing? Why is there no strength? Why? Why? Because of my house. That is waste. You're running to your own houses. You're taking care of your lives. You're taking care of your buildings. You're taking care of your children. But you're letting my house decrepitate and lie waste. There's no slack in churches being built. But what are we gaining when we lose the blessing of this giver of the seed? We've got plenty of altars, but they're being built without sacrifices of worship upon them. We're having plenty of meetings, but there's no moves of God. And all along, we're just going about in our merry old life. I don't understand why God's not blessing. And the paint's peeling off the walls in God's house. I don't understand why my children won't get saved. The carpet's getting tore. The pews are getting ragged. The doors are swinging on the hinges. The prayer meetings are being forsaken. The altar services are being shunned. The Word of God is being turned down. Instead, we want singing and entertainment. We want to feel a moving. We want something to soothe our sore consciences. We want something to fill our sad hearts. But all along, we're carrying around our bag of money with holes in it. And we're losing more. Oh, hiloboshikatalobobobokata. We're losing more and more every day. We're getting weaker and weaker every day. I would that God, somebody would reach up and pull the scales off of their eyes and realize we need to get back to doing what God wants the church to do. We need to get back to lifting Him up. We need to get back to building Him up. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to sanctification. We need to get back to come out from among the world and be ye separate. Because judgment isn't executed speedily. The hearts of men are set to do evil continually. Because they've not found your car wrapped around a tree yet, you won't wake up. Because your family's not split yet, it's okay. Your pew's not fallen down yet, so it must be all right. But ain't it strange that every other pew around you's collapsing? Come on here now. What's the problem? I tell you the problem. We are a self-centered bunch of people. You go ahead and you bow up on God. You go ahead and you get mad at God. You go ahead and you get up the myth tree on God. You go ahead and frustrate the grace of God. When in reality, you are cutting away the only life support and line that you have hope of in this life. Are you hearing me? The Bible says when they harden their heart and stiffen their necks, they're going to be cut off. And that without remedy. Are you hearing me? Why did he go and weep in the day and say that summer is past and the harvest is over? And yet, my people are still not saved. Is there not a bomb in Gilead? Is there not help in Mount Zion? Then why is the hurt of my people not being healed? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Jesus, that night upon the mountain, weeping over a city. How oft, I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen doth her brood. And he would not. And this is the reason why you knew not the time of your visitation. He told them in another place, "Oh, ye hypocrites, well, you can discern the skies and the clouds, and you can say a storm, in other words, is going to come, and it'll come. But you can't even discern the hour and the day." That you're living in. I sent my prophets to you, Jerusalem, and you slay them. I send the help to you, and you cut it off. You cry for the Messiah, and I'm right here. But you won't forget about you. Because I did not come in all the pomp and glory of a king, because I was born in a manger and wrapped in rags, because I was a lonely son of a carpenter. There's some of you, you're not going to accept God's word today because it's just Brother Jerry. But little by little, you're closing the door of opportunity on your soul. And there is going to come a time when you would enter. And it's going to be a quiet, dead silence. Some of you boys need to hear me. You need to get rid of your hard rock attitude. You need to shed that tough guy image. Some of you are so concerned how the world perceives you. Come on here now. When I was growing up in my generation, we struggled with things. But Sister Mary, I've never seen a problem with a generation wanting to look so much like the world, like the generation we got ourselves a hold of right now. But I'm going to give you a little bit right here. The reason why you're like that is because our generation didn't keep the gate locked.
Whoa.
It's all about you. What I look like. What I want to be. What I think about. It's all about you. The pastor preaches his guts out. The evangelists preach till they fall over. God deals and deals and deals. But you just ain't ready yet. I hate to break it to you right here like this. But better you hear it from me than somebody like a stranger. It's not all about you. He died and gave His life. He came not concerned about His welfare. Oh yeah, He was a man. He said, "Father, please, this cup's bitter. Let it pass. Is there not another way we can do this, God? You know, you're the Creator of the world. Can't you just make it happen?" Jesus was the perfect example of a Christian life. He forever lived in the shadow of that cross. Every time He went to a city and brought revival and healed, He would look up and see the shadow of the cross. Every time He would open up a blinded eye, He would see the cross. And if the Lord Christ Himself had to give all, who are you and me to think that we're going to get by with anything less? Oh yeah. As we stand all over the building. I want them to come and quickly get a song. I believe we are living in the Laodicean church age right now. That church age cried out, "We are rich and increased with goods. Have need of nothing." But God's answer back to them was, "Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Is that not the hour we're living in right now? There's some of you, sad as I want to admit it, you're going to sit there, play this message off, play tomorrow night's message off, tomorrow day's, last night's. You're going to go on in your own little world, never realizing that you, my friend, are in danger. If we're not careful, we can get so consumed with ourselves that we lose sight of everything else around us. It's no longer, "My brother is hurting. My church is hurting. My friends are falling." It's all about my needs. What I'm going through. What I'm facing. What hardships I've got. What discouragements I'm facing. It's all about me, God. When I get me to the place I think I need to be, I'll call on You. But God said, in other words, "You're not going to do me that way. I've given my best for you. You're going to either come now, or everything you got is going to become ruined." that's going to spoil. You're going to lose it all. As they begin to sing and play, every head bowed, every eye closed, every lip whispering a prayer. I know this is the part that we all don't like. The moment of reckoning. When we've got to seriously look deep and down inside our hearts and see what we don't want to look at. And then we begin to feel a knock upon our heart as the Lord begins to pull for us. And we must make a decision. Will I come and allow God to help me once and for all? Or will I stand here, hold this within myself, and go another day? While they begin to sing softly, if there would be one, I know there's more than one in this building under the sound of my voice that needed this message. Sure as I know the Spirit of God, I felt the Lord in this message. But would there be just one that would be brave enough to say, Brother Jerry, I think I've been a little self-centered and I need to get my focus back upon God. Would you come right now? While every heart is praying and every head is bowed. Thank God for this honest one. Would there be one more that would say, Brother Jerry, I need to lose myself and I need God in my life. Would you be willing? How about it, boys? Would there be one willing? I want to say something right here and I hope you don't fall out with me. But I'm not satisfied with people that turn around and pray in their seat. I want you to break from that pew and I want you to show God I'm serious about what I'm doing. And I want you to come and bow yourself at this altar. After all that God has done for you, is He not worth just a few moments of your time to seek His face? These altars are filling. Would there be others that would come?
Change me, Lord.
Would you come?
Change me, Lord. Don't let
I'm going to ask every saint of God that's left there, would you come and gather in around these ones that are praying? And let's help them pray this morning.
Take my life.
We got some battles going on in these altars today. We need some prayer warriors to help us pray through.
All that you want to be. Oh, Lord, please change me. Change me, dear Lord. Lord, I have to say I'm not satisfied today. I want to be more like you. So if somehow you see that there's a change I need in me, then Lord, change me to be more like you. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Don't let me for I long to be